Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We are a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday morning worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
But today you're going to be blessed. We're fortunate to have Ernie Lee with us. He's the Onslow County District Attorney, and he has been a Gideon since 94. His family's with us also, with this Mindy and Misty. Oh, sorry, that was a different wife. I knew I should put these on Misty. I'm so sorry. Misty and Catherine and Carson, they've got an older daughter that's at Campbell University right now, and we're glad that they're here with us also. You know, we are fortunate that there was someone, I think it was a couple of men that decided that they would put Bibles in hotels back in the early 1900s to help travelers, business travelers that were going from one place to the other. And you know, I know all of us have heard the name Gideons, and you may have never met a Gideon personally. I think Ernie was here some years ago and spoke and preached also. But my first encounter with the Gideons was from this book here they gave me. And I was in the AFI station in Raleigh, and Gideons came in personally, gave that to me and put it in my hand before I was going into basic training. And not only did they give me the Bible, they prayed for me as they gave it to me. So I was very moved by that, and I've had it with me ever since. It's been very important to me. And you can go into just about any hotel and in the United States and in other countries also and find a Bible in the nightstand next to the bed from the Gideons. God bless them for being here. We're just grateful that Ernie is here with us today. And after the service today, there'll be a love offering collected. So I want you to plan for that, to help this wonderful ministry, this thing that God has given to each of us to go out and spread the gospel throughout the world. The Gideons took it very literally, and that's exactly what they did by putting Bibles in the hands of people all around the world. Ernie, if you'll come and speak for us, brother. God bless you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. 30th, 2014, since I've been here. Wow. 5 years go by so quickly. How many people were here back in 5 years ago? We got some. Well, it was a lot. I've gotten older. My children have gotten older. Last time I was here, as a matter of fact, missed it, my wife and I were talking that our oldest child was about to go into high school. She was in middle school at the time. Now she's in college. She's a freshman in college. We just saw her last night. Her name is Ashton. We went up to Campbell, went to their football game, spent a little bit of time with her, and then got back late last night. I have two other children with me today, too. Well, I only have three total. But I've got Catherine. She's 15. I'll go ahead and tell you her birthday, September 21st. It's not a birthday for her. It's always a birth month. She likes to celebrate her birthday the entire month of September. She's at Jacksonville High School. And my son Carson, he is seventh grade, and his birthday is October the 9th. Am I right, Misty? Okay. And Misty has a birthday coming up, but I'm not going to say her age. And I got a birthday coming up, too. Actually, all of our birthdays are within 30 days of each other. And our anniversary, we got an anniversary September 22nd. When Catherine was born, we thought she was going to be born on our anniversary the way things were going. But she got in just before the line, just before midnight. And it's great to be here. I tell you what, I've been looking forward to this for some time. I was glad when I got contacted. It was a little hard getting scheduled and everything, but it's great to be here. I am the district attorney. I've been with the DA's office now since January 1987. I've been doing this for a long time. I was an assistant DA for 24 years, been DA now for 8 years. And I'm going to go ahead and say this because we've got Jack Bright here. We've got a new courthouse. I got a new DA's office, and I'm very proud of that place. Every time I go up to it in the mornings, I'm in awe of that building, how nice it is. I'm on the third floor. I look out of the New River. It is so pretty. If you ever want to come up and visit, I'll let you do that. I'll show you my good view. But it's a great building, and I appreciate the county commissioners, the county managers, past and present, that were instrumental in having that built for us. It is just tremendous. But it's not my building, it's the public's building. And I do welcome all of y'all to come. Robin Bright, she knows what I'm talking about because she has an office in that building too. But it's great to be here this morning. Again, I have been looking forward to this. And let me go ahead and just start, because the pastor mentions, how many people have ever seen a Gideon Bible in a motel or hotel? How many people have ever read a Gideon Bible in a motel or hotel? Okay, almost everyone. That is good. Because, you know, those Bibles are placed in hotels and motels like by people like me. Because we want to make sure that people have access to the Word of God. It's amazing the number of people in the United States of America that have not read the Bible. It is amazing. I have probably got a dozen Bibles at home. Different translations, different versions. But it's amazing the number of people in this nation that have never opened a Bible. So the goal of the Gideons is to make sure that Bibles get placed in the hands of all that need them. And that's everyone. It's not just a mission for the United States. It's a worldwide mission. And our goal is to have Bibles placed everywhere. Let me tell you about one person who found a Bible in a motel room. This individual actually came and spoke to one of our pastor's banquets. He indicated that he was a United States Marine, and he was traveling from Cherry Point down to Beaufort, South Carolina. Not Beaufort now, it's Beaufort down there. He was traveling down to Beaufort, South Carolina. He was tired of the Marine Corps. He was tired of his family life. He was tired of everything. He goes into a motel outside of Beaufort, South Carolina, and while in that motel, he contemplates taking his own life. But he thought, before I do such a thing, I ought to at least leave a note. And a little stand there next to his bed. He was looking for a pen, some paper. He didn't find pen and paper, but he did see a Gideon Bible. And like a lot of people, he had been in church at one time, but gotten out. He decided, though, to open up that Bible. If you've ever been in a motel or hotel, you'll notice when you open up those Bibles, it has different verses in there that will lead you to different things. Like if you're depressed, if you're despondent, if you're needing something. He began reading some of that Bible. And he read John 3:16. And as a result of that, he chose not to take his life, but he chose to give his life to Christ. And as a result of that, he did not leave his family. He did not take his life. He remained in the Marine Corps until he got out of the Marine Corps. Now he goes up and down the East Coast telling others what God did for him. That's the reason Bibles are placed in hotels and motels. There are countless stories out there of others that have found salvation from reading a Gideon Bible. Now, when a Bible is placed in a motel or hotel, we don't know when it's going to be read, but God knows. We don't know who's going to read it, but God knows. We don't know how many times it's going to be read, but God knows. And also, in the Gideon Bibles, that's one of the things we don't mind if you take them. I will not prosecute you for stealing a Gideon Bible. You can take a Gideon Bible because they will be replaced. Now, the Gideons were an extension of the local church. We could not operate without churches like this. And this church has always been supportive of the Gideons. But we're an extension of the local church. And why distribute God's Word? Why do that? Because, first of all, we're supposed to plant a seed. We don't know when this seed will grow, but God knows. We don't know if it'll be today, tomorrow, next year, or many years down the road. But our job is to plant the seed. And God will give the water. And God will make it grow. Also, to allow people to read the truth for themselves. People are constantly in this world searching for truth. They want truth. They want to know the meaning of life. The meaning of life, though, is contained in God's Word. That's where the meaning of life is. God is life. And we want to make sure people have the truth. And God has made a promise in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That's Isaiah 55:11. An Old Testament prophet who had been spoken to by God. And he said, if you will send my word out, it shall not return unto me void, if you'll just send it out. Now, you've probably seen the different Bibles. The preacher just showed one that he got before basic training. I was in the Army Reserve as a judge advocate, and I remember I got one up in Raleigh at the MEP Center as well. But we also have other Bibles that we pass out for the military personnel. And what type of a mission field do we have at Camp Lejeune or Camp Lejeune, North Carolina? When you pass a Bible out at this installation, it's going somewhere in the world. They can serve as missionaries for you if you'll pass out the Bibles to the Marines and sailors. The White Testaments for the hospitals, the medical offices, domestic violence shelters, Bibles for the prisons and jails. We pass out every year many Bibles at the Onslow County Jail. And the vast majority of the people, once you, if you offer it to them, they will take it. The vast majority of the people will. We used at one time, years ago, pass out Bibles among the fifth graders. Not so much anymore. It's become more and more difficult to do that. People are afraid of lawsuits. People are afraid there's a vocal minority out there that doesn't want it to happen. And unfortunately, it's not happening. But as in my job, though, as a prosecutor, I can tell you, if sometimes you don't reach these kids at fifth grade, it's a little harder when they're in the 12th grade. And that's the reason I wish we did have this ministry. But we also still pass around the hotels and motels. And you know, I was reading online, though, there's actually several groups out there that are in opposition of the Gideons having Bibles in hotels. Some atheist groups and some other groups that are pushing hotels such as Marriott and Hilton to say no to the Gideons. And I am afraid it's coming one day that you will not find a Gideon Bible in a motel or a hotel. All it takes is a minority, a small group, to pressure others to not do what's right. As the preacher said, actually, it was in 1898, there were two men, his name was John Nicholson of Wisconsin and Samuel Hill, Wisconsin. They met together by happen chance, although I believe God was in it, because those two landed up at a hotel. They were both businessmen who traveled around the Midwest. At that time, in the late 1800s, when you went to a motel, there's a good chance, unless you were very wealthy, you would not get your own room. You would land up sharing with a stranger. In fact, these two men landed up in the same room. They both discovered that they were Christians. They began doing their devotions together. And then they started saying, and I believe it was God inspired, why don't we have a group of people that maybe who travels around the Midwest that could spread the word, like we're doing now. 1 year later, they met with a third man. Will Knights. They met in Janesville, Wisconsin on July 1st, 1899. And they had elections. They actually elected a president, a vice president, a secretary treasurer, because that was all three of them. They all got an office. They prayed. Because they prayed, what should we call our organization? Or they called it association at that time. What shall we call our association? They prayed, God, give us a name. And when one of them stood up, he said, we shall be called Gideons. And the reason the name Gideons, because out of the book of Judges, where God took a small group of people, a very small group of warriors, as you remember from the book of Judges, and did mighty things with them. And they became Gideons. The first Gideon Bible was distributed at a hotel in 1908. And today there are more than 270,000 Gideons and auxiliaries. And my wife, Misty, is an auxiliary. in more than 10,000 local camps worldwide. The Gideons are over 200 nations, territories, and possessions. The Gideon Bible is printed in over 100 languages. It took 93 years from 1908 to 2001 to distribute the first 1 billion Bibles. But it took just 13 years to distribute the next billion. So right now, over 2 billion Bibles have been distributed around the world by the Gideons. How can you participate in the Gideon ministry? First of all, prayer. Pray that the Gideons are allowed to continue to go into the motels and hotels. That is going to be so wrong if one day you cannot find a Gideon Bible in a motel or hotel. That is wrong. And we got to pray that doesn't happen because it's not right. The Gideon Tribute Plan used to be called the Memorial Bible Plan, where you can purchase Bibles in honor and memory of someone. All of us have given flowers for different occasions. There's nothing wrong with that. But flowers only last for a day or so. A Gideon Bible can last for a lifetime. In contributions and offerings, all monies collected by the Gideons go for the purchase of Bibles, the purchase of Scriptures. And God guarantees that His Word would touch lives. A man who recently spoke at our pastor's banquet, I cannot do justice to it. He spoke to us back in April 2019. He was an individual, dynamic speaker. And again, I can't do justice to his words, but he was from Philadelphia. And he admitted he was into drugs, immorality, criminal acts, doing all those things he shouldn't do. And the law was after him in Pennsylvania. He gathered up some money. He said, I'm leaving Philadelphia. He bought a ticket to as far as he could go with that, with the money he had. He made it as far as Detroit, Michigan. Landed up in Detroit, Michigan in a park. Homeless. And he remembers that an individual came up to him with a Gideon Bible. There was a man he kept seeing walking through the park. There were a lot of homeless people there, a lot of drug addicts, a lot of criminals hanging around that park. And this man would walk around with a Gideon Bible. The first time, he didn't want it. He wouldn't have anything to do with that Gideon Bible. The second time, he didn't want anything to do with it. The third time, he finally took it. And he said he kept it for a while, but one day he actually read it. And he said it changed his life. This man subsequently got saved. This man has written a book about his experiences. This man now goes and preaches at a lot of different Gideon meetings. This man wants people to know how God changed his life. There was another man I was reading about. This man was in a Cuban prison in 1959 when Castro seized power. This man is now in his 80s. As a young man back in 1959, he was placed in prison. And he was a Christian. While in prison, he said that they would call out certain names. And those names that were called out were subsequently executed. One day, his name was called out. But he had been praying to God, deliver me from this prison. If you do, I will do great things for you. His name got called out. He got caught. He thought, I'm going to die. Instead, what happened was they let him go. They just let him go. He said he had a friend in Havana. He went and told his friend about this. This friend had Gideon Bibles. And this man said, you can do great things in our organization. You can do great things for God. This man took some of those Gideon Bibles, went back to the prison. And when he got to the gates, the guard said, what are you doing here? No one ever returns here. He said, I want to see the warden. And he went in and witnessed to the warden. And he left him a Gideon Bible. Now, he doesn't know whatever happened with it, but God knows. But he was brave to do that, and God gave him courage. Now this man went to Florida eventually, evangelizing others, preaching, and is actually going back to Cuba since then.
spreading the gospel like you promised. Now, why? How is it possible? How can God use a Bible to reach a man like the Marine from Cherry Point, or the man from Philadelphia living in a park in Detroit, or the man from Cuba? How can God do that? Take your Bibles. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 22. Now I'm going to preach. Okay, Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. He said unto them, "Let us go over into the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. Of course, this is Jesus speaking. But they sailed. He fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. In verse 25, these are Jesus' words. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For even he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." We've all heard the story. This is Jesus traveling with his disciples. This is contained in several of the Gospels. Now, think of the book of Matthew, when the disciples approached Jesus, they said, "Don't you care what happens to us?" Of course Jesus cared, but why was he asleep? Because he was in control. He was in control of the weather. He was in control of the storms. He was not afraid. The disciples were afraid, much like we would have been afraid had we been in that boat, because they thought they were going to sink and drown. And they went and asked him, "Master, we're going to perish. Do something for us." And what does Jesus say? "Where is your faith?" And he calmed the winds, the raging of the waters. He did those things. This Jesus at this time proved that he had power over nature. He proved he had power over the elements. Not to be afraid, because he's in control. He created it all. If you continue in this book, which is there's incredible stories here. If you go down to chapter 8, the next group, I'm not going to read it all and summarize it for you. You may remember, once he got on the other Sea of the Galilee, on the other side, he then is approached by a man. This man has demons in him. This man did not live in a house, did not wear clothes. He lived among the tombs. And this man approached Jesus, and the demons asked that Jesus not torment them, which is something. Even the demons recognized that Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. Amen. They recognized it. Mankind didn't necessarily do so, but the demons did. And what happens then? He ordered the demons to leave this man, and they left him. And the man begged Jesus to allow him to go with him. But Jesus told him, "No, go back and tell your house, go back and tell your village of the great things God had done for you." So this Jesus not only had power over nature, this Jesus also has power over the demons. If you keep going in this chapter, there's a lady who's had an issue of blood for 12 years. She has spent all her money with physicians, and she could not get healed. She had spent all that she had, and none of the doctors could ever make her well. But on this occasion, all she did was she went up and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. Now, the garment didn't heal her. It was her faith that healed her. She believed, and Jesus healed her. This Jesus had power over nature. This Jesus had power over demons. Also proved he had power over sickness. But he's waiting for the best to last. If you continue on chapter 8, word came to him there was a rich ruler whose daughter was dying. He was on his way to see this rich ruler. Of course, on the way, he gets word that she's now dead. Jesus, though, proceeds to the daughter. And when he proceeded on, he saw wailing and weeping. And he told those that were present, she is not dead. She only sleeps. Of course, they began laughing at him, not believing because they saw that she was dead. But as you know the story, he takes his 12-year-old girl by the hand and said, "Arise." And she rose from the dead. She arose and walked. The spirit of life returned to her. And they were all astonished. This Jesus, who not only had power over nature, this Jesus had not only power over the demons, this Jesus had power not only sickness, he has power over death itself. And in chapter 9, which takes it closer to home to us, there's another story about him feeding the 5,000. Remember the story. 5,000 men plus their families. So it's many more than 5,000. And all they have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. It would seem impossible to feed all these people with so little. But Jesus blesses the food and passes it among them. And they have 12 baskets left over. Everybody ate their full. They were filled up. They had eaten all they could eat. And still had 12 baskets left over. So this Jesus not only has power over nature, over the demons, over sickness and death, he also has power over hunger, our physical needs. He's there for us. And if you finish reading that, he asked Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" And so he said, "Well, some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're a prophet from old. Some say that you're John the Baptist." But then Jesus asked him the direct question, "Who do you say I am?" And what does Peter say? "You're Christ the God. You're Christ of God. You're the Messiah, the promised one." So if this same Jesus who Peter proclaimed at that time can have power over demons, over sickness, over death, over our physical needs, over hunger, should we be astounded, should we be astonished if he can take a Bible in a motel room in Beaufort, South Carolina and change a life? Should we be astounded that he can take a Bible of an individual, a drug user, a drug dealer up in Detroit, Michigan and change his life? Should we be astounded that he can remove a prisoner from a prison in 1959 in Cuba and save him and allow this man to go out and preach the gospel? If Jesus can do all these things, don't you know that he can take a Bible today and do the same? He's all powerful. It is estimated that there's about over 4,600,000 hotel rooms in this country, just in this country alone. If there's a Bible in each one of those rooms, it can reach up to 2,300 people in about 6 years. I've not done the math, but if you multiply 2,300 times 6 times 4.6 million, that's a lot of times it can reach somebody. So what potential there is? And then what difference does it make? Take your Bibles very quickly, and I'll go through this very quickly, but I just love these verses. Luke chapter 23. I actually spoke on this last time I was here. And I speak on almost every church I go to because I just think some of the most incredible verses in the Bible. Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 32, and I'll real read it. "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left." Then skip down to verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We all know the story here. But I ask the question, what difference does it make? Well, it obviously made a difference to one man on the cross that day. Because we know the story. Rome, the Jews, and Rome had tried Jesus illegally. These were not fair trials. And Jesus was wrongly condemned because he allowed himself to be condemned, though. Because that was his plan, not theirs. He allowed himself to be found guilty. He allowed himself to be placed on the cross because that was God's plan. He's placed on the cross after doing nothing amiss. There are two malefactors, two thieves, two criminals on each side of him. One of them begins railing on Jesus, saying, look, if you're truly the Christ, why don't you get us off this cross? Of course, what type of salvation was he looking for? He was looking for a physical salvation, the type of salvation that once you get me off this cross, I'm going to go live the sorry life I was living before. I'm not going to change. I'm going to be a free man to do whatever I want to still do. But the other man didn't say, take me off the cross. He said, remember me. And also said something to the other man, don't you know who you're talking to? This man has done nothing amiss. We deserve to be on this cross because we have committed crimes against Rome. We deserve to die, just like all of us deserve to be on that cross. And he said, don't you know who you're talking to? And he did not ask Jesus to remove him from that cross, did he? He said, Jesus, remember me. This man was not thinking about the physical sense. He was thinking about the spiritual sense. He said, remember me. And what does Jesus say? Jesus did not ignore him. Jesus did not forget about him, just like he has not ignored or forgotten about any of us in this room. We all have a name to him. We're all special. And what does Jesus say? I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I believe that man's in heaven now. I believe he got saved on that cross because of his faith in Jesus Christ. So you ask, what difference does it make? It makes a difference, doesn't it? It made a difference to that man on the cross, just like it made a difference to that Marine in South Carolina. And it made a difference to that man in Detroit, Michigan. It made a difference to that man in Havana, Cuba. It made a difference. I encourage all of you to support the Gideon Ministry. I encourage all of you to pray for the Gideon Ministry, to support this ministry. I do not want the Gideon Ministry to end. It's a good thing. And we don't have enough good in this world as it is. I want this ministry to continue on. Despite the opposition to this ministry, it should endure. But whatever happens, I've read the end of the book. I know who wins. And I encourage all of you to support the Gideon Ministry. I thank you for the opportunity to come here this morning. I thank you so much for allowing me to speak on behalf of the Gideons. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor.
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.